one minute ahead of time, but maybe my watch is wrong. So, here we go. Okay, I'll call the meeting to order. And I'll call for the approval of the minutes of February 12th. I've been moved, seconded. I haven't, my name is spelled wrong on the page.
Are you K again?
No, no. I'm K this time. I just have another consonant. It's like a page, whatever, K-E-I-L-H-O-L.
On the motion part, the voting?
Whole business.
The second paragraph?
Second on the A section.
Yeah.
Where it says vote A, 5.
Which line, Kim? Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay,
It's been seconded.
Yes.
It's been, okay. But I haven't called for the vote.
No.
No. Okay, here we go. It certainly doesn't take much to distract me, does it? Okay, all in favor of approval of the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we now come to the open comment period. Does anyone wish to make any comments?
Set the order of the agenda.
We did.
Okay.
Yeah.
No changes?
No. All right. Wait a couple more minutes then.
It's here to observe, guys. We're all here to observe.
Yes. Okay, I'll repeat that. We're at the open comment period. Is there anyone here who wishes to make any comments for this period? Okay, hearing none. Come to the reports. What is your log of inquiries?
Chair, I've had no inquiries since the last minute.
Okay. So we better skip over number 6.
You can if you just want to give an update, that's fine.
Yeah. Item number 6 of the under unfinished business would be reviewing a draft of the 2017 annual report. And
is that what?
An inquiry?
It's under
review draft of the 2017 annual report. Jody is working on it. And it will be ready by the next meeting.
Okay.
And at that point, then we will review it, and we'll add that again under unfinished business.
Okay.
Is there any old business? Under new business, we have 3 items. The first being a review of the inquiry by H. Sauer. Jason, you want to stay a talk on that?
Sure. Letter dated February 23rd, 2018, Mr. H. Sauer filed a complaint alleging Mr. I don't know how to pronounce his name wrong. Tassos?
Somas.
Somas? Mm-hmm. I think that's right. He was a member of the Rochester Heritage Preservation Commission, voted on landmark status, what's known as the Days Inn building. He complained, alleges Mr. Somas has a direct financial interest in the building status as he operates a restaurant on the ground floor of the building. He's alleging a violation of Chapter 13, Subdivision 2A.
So 13.04, Subdivision 2A.
Okay.
Okay, I guess I'll open the discussion of the inquiry with...
Can I start? If someone can summarize landmark status briefly, what does it detail or what does it provide? How would anyone gain from landmark status?
It could be the preservation of his business there.
Would it be different if it wasn't, does it meet landmark status?
Could mean the future of that building.
Does it have tax implications at all? Or property tax implications or anything of that sort?
I don't know. But I mean, is what that has to do with landmark status, well, I think it comes down to does he have a direct, according to our ethics code, there's a conflict of interest there.
I'm just not sure what kind of gain there is. Conflict of interest appears, I'm just not sure what landmark status actually means.
That building, any future decisions with that building, then if it gets city council approval from the Heritage Commission, any future renovations or any future happenings to that building would have to be subject to the heritage status of the building in terms of changes to it or remodeling, things like that. Could it be demolished?
Yeah.
Could it be demolished if it were to obtain that status? But again, it's not there yet. We still have to go to the city council for approval.
In theory, it could be still demolished. It would just have to go through the HPC before any decision as far as remodeling it or demolishing it would have to be approved by the HPC if it has them.
Okay.
It would make it very difficult for it to be destroyed.
Right.
To be destroyed?
Right.
Yeah.
So the whole idea of this preservation is wrong.
Correct.
Yeah.
And making sure any changes you make to it are in the... And I'm not a historic preservation expert, but within the architectural style that it's that it is.
So it'd be similar to some of the buildings we have in Rochester currently, like the Plummer House. Plummer Building is one, but some of those types of things where we're not going to change the exterior noticeably, despite the fact things different things may happen on the inside, but the exterior will be protected.
It, technically, they could declare the exterior or the interior as meaning that. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the discussion of, not that I'm opposed to having a discussion on what that status entails, but I think that's kind of neither here nor there. Because the committee member of the Heritage, Siki, has a direct financial
puzzle.
Yeah, because as the owner of that the restaurant in that building, he has a direct financial interest. Since that building itself came to be voted upon in the commission he sits on, why did he not refuse himself?
But I still would agree that I think in order to intelligently discuss the complaint, it's important to know the potential implications. But the hidden, we don't know what something is, there could be a hidden meaning that we're missing. And I'm not looking for hidden meanings, but that's why I asked, are the property tax implications or any of that?
My understanding is, I think that there was a developer interested in that property. Should it not get historic designation, that means it's a much cheaper building.
Okay.
And if it gets that, because they have to follow those codes and regulations, mm-hmm. suddenly the property is a lot more expensive to buy, maintain, and all that stuff.
Got it. Thanks. And I'll stop.
And at some point, it can't be destroyed.
It sounds like it would be much more difficult if it obtains the heritage status.
Okay. Yeah. A developer then would have to really jump through many more hoops.
Presumably, you know, if the property suddenly costs a lot more for them to do anything, mm-hmm. I would assume that they would raise the cost for someone to do business in that building, right? Something the land or the building itself costs more. I'm assuming technical mention of it, but this is what's playing out. But I don't know. I would like to make a motion that maybe we just go straight to a hearing this time. Sounds like relatively straightforward.
Go straight to a hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Save the time and the expense of a formal investigation.
I don't see any need for a formal investigation in this at all.
Can I ask a question here? Just for clarification in this letter from Brian Nichols that we have, is the Heritage Preservation Commission something that's put together by the city that you have to apply for?
Yeah, it's a city board or commission, right?
It's the same thing.
Okay. Yep.
I just didn't know how you got to be on it.
Yeah.
It's the same concept.
Right.
I would like the second phase motion.
Yeah.
So now it's open for discussion. Could I ask the city attorney what the options are?
The options are you are doing a preliminary investigation right now. Upon completion of that, if you determine that there is a reasonable grounds to believe a violation has occurred, you can either set it for a hearing, or you could ask that it be investigated further by having an investigator. Your other option would be to find that there's no reasonable belief that a violation occurred and dismiss it.
So I have a question. It seems like since I've been on the board, which is about a year now, that we've only had two hearings, and that seems to have been kind of the new to what has happened before. So how did a request like this handled before if it didn't go to a hearing?
We did investigations first. Right? There was like that formal investigation, which took a couple months, $1,000, and the investigator interview.
Prior to that, not every single case that we had went to an investigator.
No. So how were they handled? Did they all have an investigation and then a decision was made?
No.
So do we have to go to a hearing?
No.
We don't have to have an investigation.
We can't vote upon city attorney. We can't say yes. We all find that there was a violation. The next step, if there's agreed that yes, we have to suspect that there was a violation, the hearing is required, correct?
Correct. This is akin to a probable cause determination. So right now you're determining whether or not it's reasonable to believe a violation may have occurred. If you believe that, you have to set it for a hearing. You can't just summarily say that it occurred.
Right, okay.
It'd be like due process. Like everybody has to have the chance to say their side of it.
Yeah. Correct.
So previously things were dismissed without being sent to an investigator.
So you didn't have, there's never been one that was decided to go ahead and we had to. And there was a decision about
and then there was a hearing and
I think there have been.
But then how did it work?
Well, basically there was a lot of paperwork going back and forth. And sometimes it occurred outside of the hearing and it just went there. It was paperwork that was submitted to the board. And that was reviewed by the board and then there was discussion occurred at some subsequent meeting and then the decision was made.
So one of the choices in how we could go forward would be for us to look at this and decide if we had some questions and that could go back and forth.
Right, and then to ask the parties involved to defend the case. And then either in person or in person,
And was that considered a hearing?
No, it was just considered a discussion more than anything else. A hearing, from what I understand, again, we didn't have any hearings.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to understand.
We hardly had any business.
Because, well, and the issues become much more complex because I think our population is becoming much more astute of issues that are arising within our community. So a lot of it was just shuffling through paperwork that was submitted by both parties, and then making a discussion, and then making a decision based on that. That was the norm in the early days.
It was much simpler. It was simpler.
Mm-hmm. Much simpler.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's my question. Are true choices strictly have an investigation and decide if there's a hearing before that, or forget the investigation and go straight to the hearing?
Yeah.
Those are our true choices.
Or dismissal.
Okay, thank you.
And it would, you know, it would seem to me, would it be appropriate, and I guess I have that question now. As I was reading through this material several times, I know kind of how my mind was sort of responding to this. Maybe based on a number of years of just experience of listening to cases to issues that have come before us. Is there any reason, Jason, that we could not review the inquiry and make a decision?
Do
it.
I'm not saying we should do it. I'm just asking.
Everybody has to be able to say their side of it.
Correct.
Everybody what?
Has to be able to say their side of it.
Yeah, the hearing is required.
You're only seeing one point of view, right? I don't know what the person might say.
That's true. Okay, so then a hearing is required.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
Well, it seems to me that we need to make a record vote with respect to whether there's justification. It might be termed probable cause to believe that a violation has occurred. That would then trigger the hearing.
Right. There's a motion on that. Wasn't there a motion on the board?
Yeah, I appreciate there is a motion.
Right, so then it's just okay. The vote if there's any more discussion.
So would that vote on IRD, would that then imply probable cause?
Well, it would not only imply, but it would provide the ground, would provide the basis to order a hearing.
Would you rather me vote first for probable cause?
Well, I don't care how it's done. I'm just thinking that there needs to be.
Sure.
We need to have a record made, I think, and maybe it would simply be implicit in the vote that we would have on whether to have a hearing.
I think it's implied that there is suspect or a violation of code of ethics when it moves forward to a hearing. If not, there would be a dismissal.
But a no vote, for example, a no vote on the motion to have a hearing could be for the reason that the person doesn't think that there's justification, or it could be that that person wants to do something different.
If Bay were so inclined, could she amend her motion to include that?
She wants to.
Would you rather it be split in two?
I think wants there to be a record of it somehow.
It seems to me that we, since it requires justification to go forward, before we move to go forward, we need to have a determination that there is that justification.
Well, or could the hearing, moving forward to a hearing, just then be implying that more further information from hearing from the complainant?
Are you concerned, would you like to see the full investigation, and you're concerned that he wrote against the hearing, that it looks like you don't find probable cause?
No, I don't have any ulterior reason. I'll defer to the city attorney with respect to what the order of procedure should be.
Ideally, I would agree with Judge Collins that, if you wanted my opinion, I guess, on what a motion would be, that the board finds that there is reasonable grounds to believe the violation has occurred and to set the matter for hearing.
Okay. Okay. And we do that in the form of a motion, right?
Correct.
Okay. Well, I'm going to... No, I'm not. Did somebody else do that?
There's a motion on the table.
Okay. Yeah.
You can just amend your motion.
Or amend it.
You could amend it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to amend my motion to include the stipulation that we find probable cause to move forward and not dismiss the complaint.
Move forward with a hearing.
Move forward with a hearing.
I would second that.
I would second that. All right.
Any more discussion?
Thanks. A quick question.
Yes.
Do we know, are members of the HPC required to submit financial interest declarations?
Yep.
Like we did?
The charter requires that they do. Yep.
Was it? Perhaps it's not so pertinent, but what was the financial declaration of financial interest that was listed on the form?
That would be something that you could request.
Depending on the outcome of the vote, it might be something that you could request as well.
Okay. So we're ready to move forward with a vote. Setting a date. Setting up the apparatus to have a hearing on the first issue. Ready? Mm-hmm. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. All right. That will be set.
Yeah. Might I just suggest that we also ask for Jose's, on Jose's request and ask for information regarding any conflicts of interest that they might have indicated on the one that they were asked.
I don't think a motion is required. Technically, any member can request that through staff. So I'd say that was made on the record. So I'm pretty sure that that's made available to the board.
We have some three different
forums
that have contributed to the this issue. Would all three of those people be asked to be present at the hearing?
We've given notice to all the parties in question. Whether or not they attend the hearing is up to them or you as a board to subpoena their attendance.
But they'd all be able to, if they all decide, they all can speak.
Correct.
Okay. So we'll move ahead with that.
Well, are we going to set a date or what's the, what is your intent?
I think we have to
contact
those people.
Yeah, I'm not sure we can set a date now.
Okay. I can poll everybody and the parties required if you want me to and then go from there.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah, I think you know that works.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay. Then we move to the second issue, which is an inquiry by Kristen Tree. I have that information.
I think I have a question that builds on what Faye was asking earlier. Why this was how it was decided that this was a complaint to come forward versus an issue that is an inquiry to date?
Well, I can answer that. Jody asked that same question, and it is submitted on the complaint form. It's signed as a complaint, so we just thought it would be best to handle it as a complaint. It's clearly Well, I shouldn't say it's clear, but in my opinion, it doesn't appear to be related in any way to any of the ethics violations.
Right. That was my comment.
Right.
I'm not really sure that this is within our purview, that
yes.
I would recommend this tree to go to another
right.
Another means for
yeah.
I can tell you this tree has contacted, I think, every
okay.
means necessary
okay.
by the city.
Okay.
So.
And I'd make a motion to dismiss.
Okay.
And I would say,
yeah. Okay, it's been moved. There's a second. One question is that as she is notified that you know, that we are dismissing this, will you be including some information as to where what she might do if.
I've actually already done that in some of her other inquiries she's made.
Oh.
So I have been in contact with her.
Okay, got
and,
it.
And given her resources with the county and the city.
Okay.
As well
All
as,
right.
as well as notified one of the city councilors who indicated he'd be willing to help her find someone.
Okay.
Some,
okay.
Some
All right.
Some help.
Yeah. All right, good. Thank you. All right, then we come to the third, the study session.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yes. So that we will, I will take a vote, I'm sorry, take a vote on the motion to discharge that, the second item. It's been moved and seconded, so all in favor of dismissing that, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Opposed? All right. Now we'll move to the study session, and I guess my question is, are we going to do it now, or are we going to set up a time in the future? That's what I was wondering about.
Chair and board, I did put together a brief PowerPoint.
Okay.
It does not go into any great detail as I'm going off of what the code says. I don't have the historical knowledge of what's been done in the past. At some point in the future, I would like to maybe speak to the board about possible changes to the code.
Okay.
I can tell you there's some things I would like to see, including how a hearing should be conducted. If you just voted to have a hearing, but there's nothing in the code that indicates how you would do that. So I think, and frankly, I mean, I've done enough municipal hearings like this. I know generally how they would work, but I would just like to have it in writing, just to make sure that we provide some consistency. Mr. Atkins might have done them a little different than the way I would suggest they be done. I don't know. Maybe we do them the exact same way, but I just like something to go off of. So there will be some other recommendations I might have. Again, I went in 4 weeks, so I haven't had time to fully digest
okay.
Everything that's in here, but I can go over just briefly. I have some slides here. And I apologize if these are all things you already know. Peter, this is probably more helpful for me than it is you. So, this just talks about the creation of the ethics board, the ethics practices board. I would note that while the board itself is fairly new, the city charter created the ethics, it was a code of ethics in 1990, so the code of ethics has been around quite a bit longer than the actual board has. So city officials and city employees have conducted business under a code of ethics for the last 28 years. The board was created a few years ago, as you all are well aware. The members are appointed by an appointing committee, and we are going through that process right now as there's going to be some vacancies coming up shortly. And the jurisdiction of the board has to do with any violation of Chapter 13 of the Code of Ordinances, which is titled the Code of Ethics, and it's against any public official. So if it was a private person, that would be outside of the jurisdiction. So your jurisdiction has to deal with any public official, which is pretty broadly defined as anyone that works for the city, is elected to represent the city, or appointed by electors. For example, yourselves, the Heritage Preservation Commission, things like that. These are the powers set forth. I have a couple pages of them. This is one thing we might want to think about cleaning up at some point in the future. We have quite a few powers that are a bit vague, I guess, in some ways, but you know, straightforward in others. But as you can see, you establish rules and procedures for governing operations that is limited to anything that's in the actual code, which we're going to get to actually in the other business. You have the ability to administer oaths. So when you have a hearing, you can administer an oath before someone testifies. You set meetings as frequent as necessary, which I like. It doesn't require you to have meetings any set schedule, but as necessary. You can appoint staff as necessary, which is something that we'll talk about in other business as well. You can make notifications, extend deadlines, conduct investigations, make findings, review allegations, and conduct hearings as necessary. To some degree, this section goes hand in hand in how you, and even what your options are. You talk about the three options you have, which are to conduct a further investigation, set for hearing, or dismiss. And I think we can maybe clarify that a little bit. You report all findings to the appointing authority and city administrator, and the appointing authority is defined in the Code of Ethics, and it's going to vary on who the person is. So in the case of the Heritage Preservation Commission, the appointing authority, I believe, is the city council, as they're the ones that appoint the members. You can also issue ethics opinions, which, as far as I know, you have done one time. Draft forms, which is the form that was used here by Ms. Tree. You don't require that this form be used, obviously, as Mr. Sauer is a good example of that. He just filed his complaint in writing without using the form, which is fine. Your powers, I would say this is more of a responsibility, but to maintain and file complaints. File there means actual, like, filing, so keeping track of. Work with HR to design ethics education seminars. That's actually a question I had. Have you done that?
We did in our very early days. We went from commission to committee and so forth, and present what it is we did. But that was in 2009, 2010.
Well, one suggestion I would have is going forward, maybe to set up some education. You can call it a seminar. I guess it's called a seminar here. For all incoming city officials, especially those that are appointed, like individuals on the Planning Commission or the Heritage Preservation Commission, things like that, where these are individuals who are volunteering their time, much like all of you are, that may not have the background in government. assuming that they are given something by someone. I'm not sure what that is, but I think it makes sense to come from this board to design that education component, and then probably direct HR staff to carry out the actual implementation of the education. That would be my recommendation anyway. You also are to review disclosure statements and report findings on those statements to the appointing authority and city administration. I don't know if you've been doing that. In theory, I think you probably should have already seen the disclosure statements from the individual that we were discussing here, as you have that power. I guess it doesn't say if you're supposed to do that as a matter of course or if you request it. It might make sense to include that kind of regular business when we do have a new disclosure statement. Again, disclosure statements are not required for every city employee, only those department heads, those with purchasing ability, basically, and then those that are elected or appointed. So it wouldn't be that many, but I would recommend maybe looking at doing that as a regular course of business. You can also make recommendations for changes to Chapter 13. Obviously, the city council can actually make those changes, but you can recommend them, which we'll talk about other business as well. Some requirements: at least three affirmative votes are required to decide the matter. I don't really like the way this is worded. That's all it says. What it means is you need to have
a quorum.
You need to have a quorum, and then you need to have a majority vote there.
Was that not updated from
whenever
two
people
members?
That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah.
So,
no, I said it had four now. So it should be.
Yes. So yes, that's one of the things I think we should recommend to council is to make that change. And frankly, I don't know that we need to change as much as delete it, as the council already gave you the power basically to offer a procedural rules amongst yourselves. So my recommendation, when we're said and done, I guess, is going to take out any procedural rules that are in Chapter 13 related to the board, other than saying you can make procedural rules yourselves, and then as a board, you can draft your own procedural rules. You can say you follow Robert's rules, and then have some just basic other rules that you'll go by, such as, you know, you require a quorum, you require a majority vote, things like that. I don't like to rely on Robert's rules. That's just a personal preference of mine, because Robert's rules is about 900 pages long, and I don't have it memorized, so I would rather have the rules that come up on a regular basis as, you know, in writing, the public can see, that you can see, that's easy to understand, and then we can take those, you know, 888 other pages of Robert's rules and say we'll rely on those if and when that situation might come up, which it does every 3 or 4 years. My role, set forth in 1311, the city attorney acts as the board's legal counsel, does say or designee. There are obviously occasions where I can't be here. There's a few attorneys in my office that could step in. And one thing I would like to do, and I've only been here a few weeks, is to set forth some hard designations. So if I can't be there, it's, instead of saying, hey, who can cover this, it's going to be, you know, in our office manual somewhere that the city attorney will cover this board, and, you know, X person will cover, second backup or first backup, and then maybe have a second backup as well. We do have enough attorneys in our office to make sure that it's all that's covered. If there is a conflict outside legal counsel can entertain, that's obviously potential. If you're investigating something in my office, for example, or someone that I worked with closely, I would tell the body that separate legal counsel should be retained. more or less, if there's any conflict, we can retain outside legal counsel. These are the actions that you can do. We've already discussed this a bit today, with the exception of the opinion. Any person can make a request within your jurisdictional limits to issue an opinion. You do not have to issue that opinion. That's up to you whether or not you want to issue an opinion. You can also decide amongst yourselves you'd like to issue an opinion. The preliminary investigation, this is another area which I think we can probably talk about maybe. You know, when we set up rules, or if you want to go that direction, set up your own internal rules and procedures, I would like to maybe set up how the preliminary investigation goes. I think you did fine today. I think that's a great way to do it. I just think we should probably have that somewhere so future boards do it the same way. And again, I see the preliminary investigation almost as a, you know, use the word of probable cause or reasonable suspicion determination. Maybe reasonable suspicion is a better word since they do use the word reasonable in there. So at its conclusion, as today, you need to make a decision whether or not there's reasonable grounds that a violation has occurred. If not, you need to dismiss it. If it has, you have determined that, like you did today, you can investigate further. It's not entirely clear how you do that. In the past, obviously, you've hired an outside person to be that investigator. I think that's probably the best way to do it. I've seen other cities that will have actually someone from the police department do it, informing them that they'd have a detective do it, or you can have an outside auditor do it. It all kind of depends on what the allegation is. If it's financially related, you might want to have a CPA do it. If it's not, it's criminal related, you might want to have someone. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can go there, but I think it'd be good to set something up in writing. Establishing a little bit more of what your options are. If the complaint's not dismissed, you hold a hearing, and that hearing, the findings are then relayed to the city administrator and the appointing authority. So, like in the case of today's, upon the conclusion of the hearing, you'll relay the findings to the city administrator and then the city council to the appointing authority. This is somewhat of a gray area, what the consequences are. Violation of Chapter 13 can result in disciplinary action up to and including termination of employment or volunteer duties. You as a board do not have the power, I don't believe anyway, to discipline. However, I would suggest that within your findings that you could make recommendations if you wanted. Again, that's something we should probably clarify, but be a good place to put in your internal operating procedures. But and I guess that's a question I'd have for you as a board, is what have you done in the past, or if you have found that that a violation of Chapter 13 occurred, did you make recommendations?
No.
Okay. He just made the finding that it occurred and ordered it on.
Yeah.
And that's fine too. I mean, it's again up to you and how you want to proceed. At that point, I believe it would be up to the city administration and the appointing authority to decide how to handle it. You know, another option, I guess, would be to maybe amend things to say that they have the ability to ask for your opinion. If they would like it, since you're the one that did the investigation. There's a lot of options there. I think it should just be maybe clarified a little bit more on how that process occurs. Again, this is when I'm saying all this is mostly for my sake and for future board's sake. I think you're doing a fine job. I think the way that things have been handled is fine. But just for consistency's sake, in my opinion, it makes sense to have some internal rules that are a little bit, go back in writing, I guess, that future city attorneys or future board members can see and go off of. That's all the slides I have. Again, if you like, if that's the direction you'd like to go, I can maybe put something in more in depth and maybe make some suggestions. If that's the direction you want to go, again, I'm taking your direction, so I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Of suggested changes. I'd be interested in that.
I think we talked at one time about dedicating a meeting time to what is specifically for this purpose.
Was it for the changes or was it to look at the
just
whole
look at the code?
Yeah.
Well, we could do both and look at the code and kind of go through it, and I can throw out some suggestions. Redline is typically how I like to do that, so I can redline some suggestions, and before we have that meeting, send them over to the board just so you can run them over. And then at the meeting, we can discuss it and get your opinions on it.
I think that would be a very good way to also would be a wonderful introduction for new people coming up.
Right.
What month will that be? Is that June? May?
I expire the 30th of April.
You don't need to say it that way.
Let's hope not.
The terms expire
April
30th.
And I think somebody else does too.
The terms expire April 30th.
Okay.
Yeah,
my turn.
Mm-hmm. So we could set something up in May or June. Maybe not at the next.
It's a little trickier. But, you know, once we get to summer, it is a bit trickier to set something up like that. Yeah, just to make sure that we have enough people there to make it worthwhile for you to put the effort into that.
Sure. Well, we can, Joy can help find a time where we can get the majority of the board present.
Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
That's a good review.
Mm-hmm.
Reviews. Good. Okay, then we come to item number 9, which is under other business, discussion of interim secretary position. Really from the beginning of this body, one of the members actually acted as secretary. And much of the time, that was a pretty simple job. Other times, it was not a simple job at all, when we had some fairly complex issues that we were dealing with. And I find that during the period of time that I was acting as secretary, many times I would have to just dump a question onto Terry or Jody for help in writing up minutes that made sense, that were cogent, meaningful. I did talk to Jody as to how she felt about actually doing the secretary's taking the minutes just on a regular basis. And my suggestion would be that if the city attorney sees this as a viable option and Jody sees this as a viable regular addition to her job. That we actually go to having the minutes being taken that way. Having served in that position, I can say that it's more dependable, it's more reliable, and the absolute accuracy is quite reliable. Wasn't always reliable for me. I sometimes would write minutes and then show them to Terry or Jody, and all of a sudden there would be something that would be not right. So I don't know if it would require for someone to make a motion, but I certainly think that we should at least discuss the matter.
If I can add one comment there, I also have responsibility in my own days. And it really inhibited me from participating in the discussion.
Oh, absolutely.
And listening to her to part of the discussion, because I was too busy writing down what I thought I'd just heard and missing something that might have been immediately said. So it really did take away from my involvement and participation.
Well, I can tell you that the Chapter 13.10, Subdivision 3A, does say the chair, vice chair, and secretary of the board shall be elected by the membership from among its members. So while the secretary technically does need to be elected among its members, I think you have a few options. You can call Jody. Two secretaries in this. You could call Jody's position a scribe or a note taker or minutes taker.
She's too young to be a scribe.
you can call her something else, but still have her, you know, perform those duties. We can ask the council to change that section to just take out the word secretary.
Or the ordinance
yes.
Could be changed.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is a bit more of a lengthy process, I guess, but I think at least in the meantime you can make a motion and appoint Jody to keep track of the minutes and prepare the minutes, I guess. So it doesn't have to be the secretary that does that. The positions aren't defined anywhere in here, so I think you could still have amongst yourselves a chair, vice chair, and a secretary, and then have Jody do the minutes. It might make sense to have a secretary appointed amongst yourselves who works with Jody, so Jody can, that person's maybe the conduit to the group, or just throwing suggestions up.
I think it's not unusual for boards, commissions, foundations, and so forth to have a secretary in that capacity from its membership, and then to have a person probably much more experienced at taking minutes do so.
Correct.
And then maybe that person who has been selected or elected by the membership of that particular board might review those minutes charges and be placed forth in draft form for the review of the entire membership. So. With that in mind, I would like to make a motion that we continue upon the same framework that we are currently under, and with the possibility of designating secretary amongst our membership, to continue with Jody acting in that same capacity as she currently is, maybe under a different name. I'm not exactly sure how it looks in other foundations or organizations, but to find out a name that would be most representative of what she does and to honor the contribution she gives to us.
Okay. So your motion is that Jody act as the person taking our minutes and distributing them, but retaining the position of secretary
based on the based on 73 and 8. So to continue with that as it is, but not to really deviate much from what we're currently doing, except
right.
my name.
Right. Okay. Is there a
second?
Okay. Any discussion of this? Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Good.
Thank you, Jody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
So do we need to go up to the secretary?
Haven't you done
so? It might not be a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
And you could set it on for the next agenda. Would probably make sense.
Well, when is our annual meeting? Or when do we start new?
I believe it's
May
the first meeting.
Or, actually, I think I guess it runs through the. That's right. I said I expect it the 30th of April. Okay. All right, so roughly sometime after the 1st of May, then when we have, which will be kind of an organizational meeting, or the meeting will have on its agenda an organization plus the normal business.
Sure, that makes the most mm-hmm. sense to me.
Okay. Any further business then?
Set in the next meeting, I think, is the only.
Okay.
Set the next meeting now, or do we wait to? Do we have something to do for the next meeting already, or do we wait until we have hearings set up?
You know, I guess I'm not sure what you've done in the past with hearings. If you've done those during a regular meeting, or set an actual separate date where you just do the hearing.
Yeah.
I would suggest doing it that way.
Okay, so that you suggest then that we go ahead and set a date for our next meeting, which will be during which time we'll have the hearing that we discussed today.
No.
Jody's going to let us know and pull from all the people involved,
yeah.
and then we'll get a date from that.
Okay.
So
right.
yeah, it would be good to notify those involved.
Right.
The person who filed the complaint.
Yeah.
Okay.
Complaint
yeah. Okay.
To,
that's
just
right.
To make sure that
yeah.
it works for them as well.
What
about maybe
to go more
detail
over the suggestions
and such? Should we wait
also until after May for that one?
That might be
more sense. Right. Right. What did you say, Faith? His
presentation where he has some suggestions. Oh,
yes. When do we want to discuss that more in detail?
Okay. Oh, all right.
I said with sure. the, when the new people come on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So does that mean we have
yeah.
nothing until the hearing is set or until May 1st?
Or until they hear something that they want us to meet on.
I think that's my understanding.
Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
If you don't have anything, that makes sense
yeah.
To say that the next meeting will be set yeah. Yeah, upon discussions with when the hearing can be set.
Okay, yeah. So that whenever the hearing can be set, which it has to deal with several
yes.
people, so we will not be able to set
right.
another meeting at this point.
Last time, I think we tabled looking at other cities' codes and how they deal with campaign contributions and such. Is that something that we should put on the agenda? Maybe at that next meeting, whatever meeting.
Well, could that be part of the suggested?
Stuff with the code.
Yeah.
Yes.
Suggested updates.
So that, and then also looking at the what was the phrase? Where you have 1 year between when the supposed violation occurred and when you filed, and looking at that year label.
Possibly amending that, right?
Yeah, amending it.
Oh, you mean possibly changing that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because sometimes
Yeah, that might be a time to go through the entire code and kind of just make recommendations.
Just want to make sure those points didn't get lost.
Right, because those were certainly points that we had highlighted as needing their attention.
No, it's good to know. I mean, I noted it on here that is a thing. I didn't know if that was a contested thing.
One of the community members had discussed that last time.
Yeah.
Make some good points.
Sure.
Sometimes it takes more than a year before you realize that, oh wait, that was a huge conflict.
Right. Have you worded it?
Madam Chair.
Yeah.
In the past, when there was a complaint dismissed, the board wrote an official letter to the complainants. Is that something that will be done in terms of Ms. Tree?
And
a dismissal letter?
Just giving them the information.
I think we discussed that. Jason was going to do that based on the fact that he'd already done those already.
I've already contacted her outside of the ethics.
Right, and that you would continue, you would do that letter.
The letter is usually prepared, but the chair has to sign it since it was coming to the ethical practices board.
Right. Yeah, who prepares that letter?
Our office.
Your office. Okay.
Joey.
Right.
For Kay to sign.
Okay. Okay, then I will declare that the meeting is adjourned. And the next meeting date will be set when the information is such that it can be set. And at that point, I guess we may have to, and I know we've done this in the past, using email to determine, who can come, who can't, how we're going to come up with a date in which we have the information that we need, that we're ready to do that, but that we also have a quorum.
Correct, yes. I mean, you can use email to set procedural things,
yeah.
But you just can't discuss any business amongst yourself as a group of like open meetings. But yes, you can certainly set meetings up that way.
Jason, welcome.
Thank you.
How's it going so far?
Good. So far, so good.
Where were you before?
Right before here, I was in Portland, Oregon. And I'm from Fargo originally.
I can certainly fit those.
So your family is after your family.
Yeah, I've got a lot of family.